From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we continue our study of Luke's Gospel chapter 1 verse 45. This week we're thinking of how Mary, the young woman who was soon to become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, how she believed God when He gave the promise of her producing a child by the miraculous operation of the Spirit of God, what we call the virgin birth. Despite the huge challenge to her faith, she believed God. And submitting herself to Him, she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." We're thinking of the blessings of believing God, looking at Mary's faith as an example of true faith. We're looking today at the ground of Mary's faith, so I trust you'll stay with us as in a few minutes we turn back to Luke's Gospel chapter 1 verse 45. First, however, we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12 and verse 1. For our daily devotional Bible study, it's time to remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We seem to have no control over what we remember and what we forget. Things that would be to our advantage to remember seem to slip secretly away. Things that we would love to forget seem to stay in our minds as unwelcome guests. Knowing the lack of control we have over memory makes the frequent biblical commands to remember certain things and forget other things beyond our ability to obey consistently. But God is never unreasonable. To remember in the biblical sense is something we are capable of doing. Memory is something we can and should control. To remember God is to keep Him willfully and consciously in our thoughts. Such recollection and reflection determine our behavior. If you're young, it's time to remember the Creator. If you're not young, it's time to remember your Creator. Youth marks the beginning of this duty, not the end. Remembering the Creator focuses our minds on God's majestic and uniquely infinite power. Our Creator is the only living and true God. Our Creator is Christ, the eternal Word, by whom all things were made. He who made man is man's sovereign, who holds man's destiny in His hands. As our Creator, He has the innate right as judge, whose judgments are correct. They're comprehensive and they're complete. That God is our Creator reminds us that He's infinitely superior to us, that He owns us, and that we are accountable to Him. He deserves our worship, our respect, and our reverence. Remembering the Lord doesn't just happen. We must think on His person, reflect on His perfections, acknowledge His goodness and grace, and meditate in His Word. And our thought for the day comes from Philip Henry, the father of the famous Bible commentator Matthew Henry. Philip Henry said, "Meditation keeps out Satan. It increases knowledge. It inflames love, it works patience, it promotes prayer, it evidences sincerity." Lord, For the last couple of weeks here in Let the Bible Speak, we have been bringing to your attention a special offer of our 2007 Let the Bible Speak calendar. Actually, a few ministries get together and produce a calendar that I think people will like and will have the effect of bringing the ministry before the people of God so that they may pray for it. This calendar features scripture from day to day. It also is something good to put in the hands of those who are not saved because it contains a simple statement of the Lord's way of salvation. It is something that will encourage you to pray and hold this ministry before the Lord. It's also pleasing to the eye. We have some beautiful scenes from the northern part of Ireland. And as many of you will know, Let the Bible Speak is a ministry that commenced in Northern Ireland in 1973, and since then has been broadcasting the gospel to literally millions of people around the world. The Way of Life calendar is available to you free of charge. We would like to have the privilege of sending you your copy. All you've got to do is request it. You may write to us, email us, or call us toll free. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address, ltbs@freepres.org. And you may call us toll free at 1-866-877-5827. That is 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you, and I'm sure that you will enjoy using our Words of Life calendar that we'll bring to you for a prayer request, week by week, day by day, the ministry of Let the Bible Speak. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45. These words were spoken by Elizabeth, soon to become the mother of John the Baptist. She speaks them concerning Mary, soon to become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." The Lord had sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, a pure and holy young woman, with the promise that she would bear a son. Naturally, Mary was perplexed. She was not married. She was a very modest and moral and upright young woman. She had not had any intimate relations with any man. And so she said, "How can this be? It's against the course of nature. It's against what all of history testifies, that there can be no such thing as a babe born to a pure virgin who has never had any relations with any man." That was known by her and by everybody else. But the promise of God was, "You'll bear a son." And the angel told her how. He said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. On hearing that, Mary realized that with God, as the angel said, nothing shall be impossible. And so she said, be it unto me according to thy word. That was amazing and glorious faith. And that faith Elizabeth celebrated in the words of verse 45. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. We're talking about the blessings of believing God. We're using Mary and her great faith as an example. We saw yesterday the object of Mary's faith, and that is the sovereign God of heaven and earth in the Trinity of his sacred persons. Now we come to the ground of Mary's faith. Her faith was not just a feel-good attitude. Her faith was not making herself believe something that in her heart she doubted. Her faith had nothing to do with make-believe. Make-believe belongs to the world of the theater. Let's leave it to Hollywood. The ground of Mary's faith was the promise of God. She heard God's promise. She received God's word. And so her faith laid hold of the promise of God. We have read already the words of verse 38. Mary said, on hearing the promise, on hearing the assurance that with God nothing shall be impossible, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. That's her yielding herself for whatever God has for her, no matter what it involves, no matter what it costs, no matter where it leads, let it be done to me according to the word of God. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, Mary knew that God would do all that he promised to do. That was the ground of Mary's faith. When you stop to think of it, you know, that is always the ground of true faith. Take the case of Abraham. We read in Romans chapter 4, verse 21, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, Abraham believed God. He was fully persuaded. Now, how did he come to this full persuasion? What God was promising him was a great challenge to the human intellect. It ran contrary to every appearance that man could think of. What God was promising Abraham, this old man who had no child, God was promising him that from his loins would come a vast people, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of his lineage, God would send the Messiah. Now, that was a vast and on a human level, very impossible promise. But with God, there's nothing impossible. It's not even difficult for God. Now, Abraham stopped and he believed that. He realized, if God tells me something, then God means what he says. He says what he means. He'll do what he said because he's the God of truth. He will do what he has said. He can do what he promises because he is the all-powerful God of heaven, earth, and hell. There's not a power on earth can stop him. There's not a power in hell can stop him. There is nothing anywhere can stop God from doing what he wants to do. Abraham realized that. And on realizing this, he became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Men and women, let that sink down into our hearts. Let that really grip our souls. Let's quit the make-believe, the forcing ourselves to believe. Let's quit calling something faith that is merely the fantasy of our own deranged minds. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's find out what has God promised. And if God has promised something, He is going to perform it. So, just like Mary, Abraham had the promise of God for the ground of his faith. You think of Solomon. He gave expression to this in the beautiful words of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Now listen to this. There shall not fail, or should I say there hath not failed, one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And that's a wonderful testimony that Solomon was bearing to the promise of God. He looked back over all that God has promised, and God promised a lot to David and to his house, and at first it seemed impossible it could ever be fulfilled. But there's nothing impossible with God. And so the Lord fulfilled his promise. But looking back on it, Solomon said, there hath not failed one word, not a single word, of all the good promise of God, which he promised by Moses, his servant. Now here is the certainty of faith. Some people have a difficulty with those two ideas going together. When you listen to a secular journalist interviewing a Christian, very often he will talk to him as if faith and certainty were mutually exclusive. That if you take something on faith, there is an element of doubt in it. Well, that will be true if your faith is placed in anything or anybody in whom or in which doubt naturally inheres. If there's any ground to doubt a person's sincerity or ability to fulfill his promise, then yes, there's going to be an element of doubt in any trust that's placed in them. But when you come to the God of heaven, there is no doubt that can inhere in God. He has no doubt about himself. There is no ground whereby we should doubt him. When you think of who he is, his character, and then all his attributes, you think of his ability and his authority. You put those together. There's nothing too hard for God, so that what God promises, what he promises, he will do. And we can take our stand in that. We can trust everything to that. God's word is absolutely certain. God's promise will never fail of fulfillment. This is the certainty of faith. So that faith and certainty go together. It's unbelief and doubt that go together, not faith and doubt. Faith in God is certainly, definitively, and inevitably something that is going to have what it believes. For God cannot fail. It's not the strength of the faith I'm talking about. It's the strength and character of the one in whom that faith is placed. So the ground of Mary's faith, Abraham's faith, Solomon's faith, our faith, is the promise of God. And it yields absolute certainty. Now this certainty of faith assures us of our salvation. This is a very difficult matter for many people. They wonder, how can I ever be absolutely sure that I'm saved? Well, think of this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Men and women, this faith that stands on the promise of God gives the assurance of salvation. I remember this in my own experience as a young man, living with doubt. Am I saved or am I not saved? And I had so many doubts and so many fears that at times I thought, this is going to drive me out of my mind. I want to be sure I'm saved. One day I'm fairly certain, and then the next day I'm down in the dumps and I can't get assurance. Remember when I was just almost 18 years old, being in a late night prayer meeting, and we were waiting on God. The hours were passing. It was about 3 a.m. and everybody else was seeking God with a sense of blessed liberty, and I was in terrible bondage. And there about that time, the Lord in His grace heard the cry of my heart, and He brought home to my soul the simple truth of John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's the mystery of election. I can't understand that part. That's not the simple part of the text. The next part I do understand. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I hardly knew how to pray, what to say, but I knew I could trust the word of the living Christ. There's no doubt that He tells the truth, that He is the truth. And so as my faith stood on His promise, God graciously gave me the grace of assurance. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. This certainty of faith not only gives you the assurance that you're saved, it encourages you to venture everything in His service. Amos the prophet says, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? When you hear the voice of God, it stirs your believing heart to venture everything on His word. And if He calls you to serve Him, to go to the ends of the earth, then go with confidence. Take Him at His promise. Stand upon His word, because there'll never fail one word of all the good promise of our God. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.